Hello and welcome to Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and so to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. As alpine glaciers melt, it's revealing ancient life and perhaps a glimpse of the future. And while we're there, there's new evidence showing Ötzi the Iceman dressed like a herdsman. A Bronze Age building is saved from erosion by the sea in the Shetlands. But sadder news, as more quarrying near the Thornborough Henges in Yorkshire is set for the go-ahead. A bronze ring is unearthed in a West Sussex dig in England, and you're welcome to view new Stonehenge investigations. Remarkable carved stones are found after a fire on North Yorkshire moors, and happy birthday, Venus of Willendorf. She's celebrating the 100th anniversary of her excavation in Austria. A Bronze Age skeleton found in Cambridgeshire in England is reported on, while in the Isle of Man, archaeologists unearth a prehistoric tragedy. And finally, it seems the Turkish Iron Age style is back in fashion. Melting alpine glaciers are revealing fascinating clues to Neolithic life in the high mountains, and the finds are also providing key indicators to climate change. Everyone knows the story of Ötzi the Iceman, found in an Austrian glacier in 1991. Ötzi was discovered at an altitude of over 3,000 metres and lived around 3,300 BCE, leading to speculation that the Alps may have had more human habitation than previously suspected. Now, more dramatic findings from the 2,756-metre Schneedejoch glacier in Switzerland have confirmed the theory. It all started at the end of a long hot summer in 2003 when a Swiss couple hiking across the melting Schneedejoch came across a piece of wood that aroused their curiosity. They took it down with them and gave it to Canton Bern's archaeological department, where careful examination and carbon dating revealed that the piece of wood was actually an arrow quiver made of birch bark dating from around 3000 BCE. At first, the news of the find was kept quiet, as they feared treasure hunters, but teams of archaeologists went up and more artefacts were discovered. Albert Hafner, the chief archaeologist, reported they now have the complete bow, equipment, quiver and arrows. They have also a lot of organic material like leather, parts of shoes and a trouser leg, and the finds are not just confined to 3000 BCE. Some of the leather found and a fragment of a wooden bow date from 4500 BCE, even older than Ötzi, making them the oldest objects ever found in the Alps. And they also come from later periods. A Bronze Age pin has been discovered, as well as Roman coins and a fibula, and items dating from the early Middle Ages. What fascinates scientists about the age of the finds is that they correspond to times when climate specialists have already calculated the Earth was going through an especially warm period, caused by fluctuations in the orbital pattern of the Earth in relation to the Sun. At these times, historians now speculate the high mountain regions became accessible to humans. For Martin Groschin, the leather items found on the Schneedejoch dated over 5,000 years old are proof, if any more was needed, that the Earth is now warming up. The fact that we still find these 5,000-year-old pieces of leather tells us that they were protected by the ice all this time, and that the glaciers have never been smaller than in the year 2003. Scientists and archaeologists from all over the world attended the conference in Bern to hear about the Schneedejoch findings and present research of their own. Patterns have begun to emerge. Researchers in Canada's Yukon region have found evidence of Neolithic farming and domesticated animals at high altitudes. Again, they correspond with calculations climatologists have made about the Earth's warmer periods. And while we're on the subject, the famous Iceman Ötzi dressed in clothes made from sheep and cattle hair, a new study has shown. The researchers say their findings support the idea that the Iceman was a herdsman and that their techniques has use in the modern clothing industry even. The social and cultural background of Ötzi has been the subject of much debate since his mummified remains were discovered in an alpine glacier in 1991. Although his clothes were known to be made of animal skins, their exact origin was uncertain. The new study focused on hair samples taken from Oates's coat, leggings and moccasin shoes, and it was found that the hairs came from cattle and sheep, just the type of animals that herdsmen care for during their seasonal migrations. The researchers analysed hair samples in excess of 5,000 years old using Malditov mass spectrometry. This allowed them to study patterns of peptides of fermented proteins present in the ancient hair and compare them with those of modern-day animals. They found that Oates's coat and leggings were made from sheep, while moccasins were of cattle origin. A Bronze Age structure thought to have been used as a sauna has been saved from the destruction by the sea after a team of archaeologists moved the entire find to a safer location. The building, which dates to between 1500 to 1200 BCE, was unearthed on the Shetland island of Bressay 8 years ago. It was found in the heart of the burnt mound at Crewster, a Bronze Age site on the coast of Bressay facing Lerwick. But earlier this summer, because of the increased threat of coastal erosion, local historians joined with archaeologists to launch a campaign to save the building and move it somewhere safer. A third of the mound has already been lost to sea erosion, but the central structure was carefully dismantled and each stone numbered before being moved to a site a mile away next to the Bressay Heritage Centre. Archaeologists worked alongside local volunteers for 3 months to remove the building and then rebuild at a new site. And following the completion of this unusual removal scheme, the Bronze Age building has now been officially opened by the MSP for Shetland. The final go-ahead has been given next week for further quarrying close to the Neolithic Thornborough Henges in North Yorkshire, England. On Tuesday, members of the County Council's Planning Committee will be recommending to approve a controversial application by Tarmac to quarry 1.1 million tonnes of sand and gravel from farmland less than a mile from the ancient site. The latest move comes after years of argument over whether more quarrying should be allowed close to a site that has been described by some as the Stonehenge of the North. Tarmac's existing Nosterfield Quarry near Beedale produced 500,000 tonnes of sand and gravel a year, and the new permission will extend its life by 2 years. An application for a larger site was refused permission in February 2006 because North Yorkshire County Councillors decided the extraction of 2.2 million tonnes of aggregate would have an unacceptable impact on the archaeological remains. But in January last year, approval was given to a revised scheme extending quarrying across 76 acres of Ladybridge Farm at Nosterfield. That decision was quashed after Friends of Thornborough Henges began a legal challenge in the High Court. Now the application has been reviewed, and when Planning Committee members meet at Masham Town Hall on Tuesday, the Director of Business and Environmental Services, Richard Flinton, will be recommending that permission is granted. The Council for British Archaeology remains opposed to the scheme because of its fear about the effects on the Thornborough Henges. The CBA says it considers the application by Tarmac would have an unacceptable impact on the setting and says the archaeological remains from the Neolithic and the Bronze Age should be preserved in situ. The Friends of Thornborough Henges have renewed their objection and Yorkshire Archaeology Society has said that the quarrying will have an unacceptably erosive impact upon the overall archaeological landscape. English Heritage, however, has welcomed the revised scheme, saying that they feel it has addressed initial concerns with regard to the preservation of archaeological deposits of national importance by omitting the southwest corner of the previous application site. I think this one is going to be one to watch. Artifacts not seen for 3,000 years have been discovered at the site of a new hospice in West Durrington in West Sussex, England. Among the finds is an ancient bronze donut. Volunteer metal detector enthusiast John Cole found the ring, possibly a Bronze Age ingot, used as currency. Archaeologists have also unearthed large quantities of Roman and prehistoric pottery after stripping away literally hundreds of tons of topsoil using a mechanical digger. They are currently concentrating on a 50-metre square area to the northeast of the site, about a tenth of the entire area they will be examining over the next 6 or 7 weeks. Phil Emery, of London-based archaeological consultants Giffords, said that the ring was a very significant find and possibly very important, although its age is still to be verified. He added that they've also been finding quite large shards of Roman pottery and also Iron Age. As the search progresses, the archaeologists intend to involve the public and especially schools in a community dig overseen by Worthing Archaeological Society. Archaeologists hope to find relics dating back almost 10,000 years to the Mesolithic period. Now, that's exactly the sort of work that you like to see, where commercial archaeology can indeed involve the public at all levels, with schools, local societies. If you want to see more about that, you can read about the Prescott dig in London if you go to LP Archaeology's website, or you could in fact read about it in issue 3 of the Past Horizons magazine, but I'll give you the URL for that later on. Archaeologists from around the United Kingdom are investigating Stonehenge and the surrounding areas, and visitors are being invited to come along to see history being brought to life. As part of the ongoing Riverside project, experts are going to be digging at sites near the ancient stones to find out more about their links with Stonehenge itself. Many who visit the stones may not know they are part of a complex series of monuments on Salisbury Plain, including the 3-kilometre-long Stonehenge Cursus, Durrington Walls, and Britain's largest henge, which are all inhabited at the same time as the Sarsen stones were being put up around 2600 to 2500 BCE. This year, archaeologists are hoping to discover where Stonehenge's builders lived in the centuries before 3000 BCE, when the earliest stages of Stonehenge was being built. As well as digging going on between August the 18th and September the 12th around Stonehenge and on the Cursus itself, part of the processional route will also be excavated to see how long the course was and whether stones were shaped before being put up. An Aubrey Hole is being redug at the moment in order to recover and analyse prehistoric cremations replaced there by archaeologists in the 1930s. Areas believed to be inhabited by the builders of Stonehenge are also due to be excavated. So visitors are welcome between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. every day until September the 12th, and there's going to be a special open day held on September the 6th, 7th, between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. starting at Woodhenge Car Park. A shuttle bus will transport people to the excavations, where there will be reenactors and archaeologists, including Time Team's Phil Harding. For further information or to receive a map of recommended walking routes, call 0775-674-816. That was 0775-674-816. Sounds like great fun. A catastrophic fire which skinned a precious moorland to its rocky bones has unexpectedly revealed some of the most important prehistoric archaeology found in Britain. The uncontrolled six-day blaze on Filindale's Moor in North Yorkshire has exposed a lost landscape dating back 3,000 years, which is now to be made more accessible to the public by English Heritage. Unique rock art and unprecedentedly clear Bronze Age field boundaries have emerged from the soot and cinders that was all that was left of 2.5 square miles of the North York Moors National Park when fire crews and heavy rain finally swamped the area in September 2003. The intense heat destroyed the entire blanket of peat which had accumulated over the area close to the North Sea coast, since farmers abandoned it for unknown reasons around 1000 BCE. Graham Lee, the Senior Archaeological Conservation Officer for the National Park, said that the sheer number of new finds exposed by the fire is the most exciting development in archaeology in his experience. The rock art list for the site has grown by almost 3 times its previous size, with more than 100 sets of mysterious lines, cups and circles discovered since the fire. One of the very rare features exposed is a set of defined borders to the areas cultivated in the Bronze Age. The fire was environmentally disastrous, but it did give access to a landscape which we would never have reached otherwise. What has been found as a result has altered perceptions of this period. It also raises questions about the scale of what else lies hidden over the rest of the North York Moors. The wealth of Filindale's finds will now be collated with a £26,000 publication grant from English Heritage, following a local exhibition of the principal discoveries. Plump and 25,000 years old, this lady remains a mystery even after 100 years in the limelight. The Venus of Willendorf, a small ochre-coloured figure from the Paleolithic, has taken her name from the village in northern Austria where she was excavated on August 7, 1908, by three Austrian paleontologists. This was the first statuette from the period that had detailed features, and it was also the first statuette to be discovered on an archaeological site. On the 100th anniversary of excavation, this Venus is being honoured with a special exhibition at the museum, alongside other artefacts from the same period. Carved from oolitic limestone, she's a round woman, standing with her arms resting upon her breasts and belly, her bowed head hiding her face, but showing off her elaborate hairstyle. Rather than being a goddess, the Venus of Willendorf could have been part of a ritual or a shared belief between several tribes over 20,000 years ago. Although excavated at opposite ends of the continent, the French and Russian Venuses are similar in form to their Austrian sister. They could have been expressions of a single belief that spread throughout Europe. But this does not explain where the lady from Willendorf came from originally. While other artefacts and statuettes were excavated near the same village in Lower Austria, no trace remains of the rock out of which she was carved. A rare Bronze Age skeleton has been recovered at Wickham in Cambridgeshire in England. Archaeologists working next to the Francis Flower Quarry discovered the skeleton almost intact, lying buried in a fetal position with an intact pot by its mouth. The skeleton was found a few hundred metres from a Bronze Age barrow, an early form of cemetery, and was carefully lifted out of its shallow grave by archaeologists from Oxford Archaeology East. Supervising archaeologist Nick Gilmore said that the discovery could be up to 3,200 years old, and only 40 skeletons of this type had ever been found in the UK so far. It is unusual to find a Bronze Age skeleton with so few possessions. They were often left with flint arrowheads and daggers, and in some cases even buttons made from jet. All, however, have been discovered in this fetal position. It's the idea of going out of the world in the same way that you came back to it, said archaeologist Tom Phillips, a Wychford-based member of the Three Strong team. Quarry owners Francis Flower Limited discovered the Bronze Age site when they paid for an archaeological survey 6 years ago, but then they waited these 6 years to remove the skeleton for analysis. The farmland surrounding the skeleton is used to grow crops, and an archaeologist said that regular ploughing had missed the skull by millimetres. Archaeologists may have unearthed evidence of a prehistoric tragedy at Isle of Man Airport. They're working on the theory that fires could have razed the Bronze Age village to the ground in the area known as Ronald's Way. Prehistoric remains, including three human skeletons discovered during earthworks for the airport runway extension, made headlines around the world. The excavations have been completed some 2.5 weeks ahead of schedule, and the site cleared ready for construction work to resume. It was initially thought that the pottery fragments dated back some 4,000 years to the late Neolithic, but following a study of the artefacts, experts from Oxford Archaeology North have provisionally revised that chronology by some 500 years. It's now believed that they have uncovered part of a Bronze Age settlement first discovered when the runway was built in the 1930s. Several of the half-dozen circular structures unearthed feature charred earth indicating evidence of burning. The experts now believe that these are Bronze Age homes dating back 3,500 years that appear to have been burnt down. Two cairns in which were found the human skeletons appear to be slightly more recent, and one of the burials contained fragments of a ring or bangle which had been worn around the upper arm. Andrew Johnson, field archaeologist at Manx National Heritage, said that it seems that it's possible that these buildings were burnt down. The site stretches from the southwest to the northeast, and it does seem likely that if a fire took hold in the southwest, then, given the direction of the prevailing winds, the possibilities of disaster were obvious. It's an interesting speculation that the cairns appear to have been built slightly later, after the conflagration. Perhaps in what psychologists would now describe as a process of closure, the settlement's use was changed from a living community to a place for the dead. Hundreds of pottery shards and pieces of worked flint were also recovered. Women in Turkey have been returning to 2,500-year-old fashions, as bracelets, earrings and other accessories styled after pieces in the Iron Age section of the Antalya Archaeology Museum grow more popular by the day. Sales of imitation combs, bracelets and pinky rings based on pieces found in Kinet, a port city founded in the 6th and 5th century BCE, have been soaring in the city of Dortyol in the southeastern province of Hatay, while so say local shopkeepers. The Iron Age accessories carved from ivory and bone have been copied with designs made from wood. Accessories made of blue, yellow and white beads, believed to provide protection from the evil eye, are now also incredibly popular in the city's shops and jewellery stores. Local shopkeepers say even modern customers believe that the pieces will protect them. Cork Bozkurt, who has been a jewellery designer for 55 years, says most of the orders he's been getting recently have been for imitations of Iron Age accessories. There's strong demand for bracelets and rings in particular, and there's been a return to the fashions of antiquity. Well, on that rather upbeat note, I'd just like to remind people about a few extra websites. I've been looking at an absolutely fabulous site called Preservation Today, so you can find that at www.preservationtoday.com. It's a brilliant new site providing news, information, and a new style of the podcast. Shall we say it's a bit more TV-like? So get yourself along there and have a look at that. And also, coming up very, very soon is the fourth edition of the Past Horizons magazine. This is, again, cutting-edge technology with page flip and embedded videos. It's quite brilliant, even though I say so myself. And we're working on it right now, shall we say. So get along to www.pasthorizons.com/magazine. And of course, can I remind people that new archaeological and heritage opportunities in the UK can always be found at Badger, where www.bajr.org. And of course, more can always be found, if you're still with me, of course, more can always be found at Stonepages at news.stonepages.com. So thanks for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you return again next week, where I'm going to be doing my last broadcast for a wee while, because of course I will be off to Jordan for a month. But pop in again next week for the next edition of Archaeology News Weekly. Thanks now.